ओम जनतमनंदस्य जनजनस्य चक्षुसमृतं येन श्रीहरि नमः श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभुं पतितं भवति करे सायं प्रकटमयं वदति सर्वदा मञ्चकल्पदिवश्च पिपसन्नुभैः च पतितनां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Who remembers what was going on in the pastime that we heard yesterday?
Krishna gets upset with them. He said, and he said, they
cut. He
said, huh? He said, they cut, which
he did. Kicks over the cart. And what is Mother Yasoda doing? Thank you. Good. What is Mother Yasoda doing? Do you remember? Saravan?
Receiving gifts.
Yeah. Distributing charity because it was the occasion of the Uttana ceremony, when Krishna was coming out of the house. He was just 3 months old, and Mother Yasoda had put this darling, all attractively sweet, effulgent, beautiful baby underneath the cart because he was resting. And because of all that was going on, she couldn't hear Krishna crying when he awakened. And Krishna did not like that. He is the only one who legitimately can think of himself as the center of the universe. He did not like it. And he kicked his legs in such a way, even though his legs were as tender as newly grown leaves, yes. So gentle, so soft, so tender. But still, because whatever form Krishna is manifesting, different from the mystic yogis, he still has unlimited full power. Aishwarya Purnam, Sadaishwarya Purnam. He possesses six opulences, one in full purna, and one of those opulences is strength or power, so just with the touch of his legs. What happened? The cart was knocked off. What was on the cart? Plates, utensils made out of?
Copper, gold, silver, clay.
You're adding some though. Finest china. Stainless steel cups and bowls. Gold and silver opulent plates and bowls knocked over, making such a tumultuous sound. And this was in the middle of the festival, and Krishna was forgotten, which isn't good, by the way. Krishna should not be forgotten, even though sometimes that happens, isn't it? That we're in the middle of a festival glorifying Krishna, we forget all about Krishna. We're so busy greeting the guests and organizing this and that. We forget the center, Krishna. And then he might kick his leg, and the whole thing will go topsy-turvy. So, text 8. Mother Yasoda and the other ladies who had assembled for the Uttana festival, and all the men headed by Nanda Maharaj, saw the wonderful situation, and they began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed by itself. Now, why were they wondering how it collapsed by itself? Because they couldn't imagine that this little boy who was underneath the cart had caused it with the touch of his legs. How could they think of that? They couldn't think of Krishna as the all-powerful Supreme Lord, because that would interfere with the protective spirit that they had towards him. That acknowledging or being conscious of his Aishwarya or opulence would diminish the Madhurya or the sweetness of their relationship with him. And the Krishna's internal energy. Yogamaya would not allow that. So they couldn't understand what had happened. They began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but were unable to do so. The assembled cowherd men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Is it the work of some demon or evil planet, they asked. At that time, the small children present asserted that the cart had been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, they said, the cart had collapsed. And there was no doubt about this. This is what the children said. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport, perhaps the last third. The nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this was how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, that's Krishna's internal energy, which organizes the different pastimes for Krishna's pleasure in the spiritual world. And when that energy comes to the material world, or it's called Mahamaya, or Maya, or illusion. So the spirit souls, tiny by nature, they must take shelter of one energy or another. We are not sufficient to stand on our own. We are too tiny and insignificant. So when one who is pure and wants to serve Krishna fully, he becomes enthralled by Krishna's internal yogamaya potency. And he, in that potency, sheltered by that potency, he does so many things. He feels himself an individual. He does so many things. But actually that internal potency, yogamaya, is organizing everything. It's Krishna's internal energy. And similarly, but conversely, in the material world, not trying to give pleasure to Krishna, but trying to experience pleasure ourselves as if we were the center of existence, we, being insignificant, also have to take shelter of an energy, but we gain the shelter only of the Mahamaya or illusory energy. And there, thinking we're self the center, we're trying to do so many things, but actually Maya is organizing everything. But what do we get? If we can take shelter of Yogamaya, and what does it take to gain the shelter of Yogamaya? Does anyone know?
Surrender.
Yes, that's the beginning.
Love.
Yeah. And deep longing, or spoken of in a different way, really full sincerity. And then we can, nothing actually that the living entity can do to gain that shelter. He cannot do it by his own power. But when his longing is deep and fully sincere, then as Krishna wants, and by the blessing of an exalted Vaishnava, by the prayers of an exalted Vaishnava, by Krishna's mercy, then that Yogamaya will give him shelter. And that stage is called Bhava Bhakti. One has to have a deep longing for that. As long as we want that, as well as good situations in the material world, as long as our desires are many-branched, bahushaka tanantascha buddhya avyasayinam, not fixed in one-pointed, then Krishna actually will arrange to remove all those other desires. And then, when the desires are only focused on, I want to serve Krishna, nothing else will satisfy me, then immediately the spiritual energy will reciprocate. And when that desire is mature, actually, when one's aware of his relationship with Krishna, then he will attain Bhava Bhakti, the full shelter. And Bhava Bhakti is called Premankur, which means the seedling of love for Krishna, a full love for Krishna. It's also called in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the example of a sadaka given, or one who is a practitioner of devotional service, is given as Bilamanga Thakur, who is on the stage of Bhava, because he is a sadaka or a practitioner for prema. That's when everything really becomes exciting in devotional service, at that stage, because then one is sheltered by the internal energy and everything will move automatically. At that point, one actually experiences Krishna's name, Abhinatvam Nama Namano, as the same as Krishna. Full experience of Krishna when speaking Krishna's name. So it's that platform. Oh, that's pure. That's called Uttama Bhakti, or first class devotion, or the topmost position of devotional service. So all this is going on, so the nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this was how the accident happened, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. All the gopas and gopis, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. So by the arrangement of Yogama, they were not allowed to accept this because that would ruin their loving, protective relationship with Krishna. There's no need to protect someone who is all attractive and so powerful. And that was the mood of their love for Krishna. This is the nature of parental, maternal love, vatsalya bhava. It is expressed by protectiveness. So, Yogamaya would not allow that protective emotion of love, because that was, again, that was the expression of their love. It would not allow them to accept that Krishna had just kicked the cart with his feet and immediately knocked it over. What was another example of that? Not with Krishna's in this form, but with Varahadev was fighting with whom? Hiranyaksha. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and sometimes Varaha had dropped his club because he was enjoying the sport of fighting. And then the demigods, including Lord Brahma, they prayed, "Oh, Varahadev, don't play with him any longer. It's causing us too much anxiety. Sometimes it looks like he's winning, sometimes it looks like you're winning. Please dispatch him immediately." And Varahadev felt compassion for the demigods. And then, boom, with one slap, he killed him. Just like that. He has full potency at all times, and regardless of his form. Full potency. But the gopis, by the potency of Yogamaya, were not allowed to experience Krishna's all-powerfulness because it would interfere with the madhurya, or the sweetness of their protective vatsalya love towards him, parental love to him. So by the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost, but in fact everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita Sagunan Samatitya Itan Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Or in other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. In fact, it describes in the fourth chapter fourth canto, towards the end of the canto, describing, can't remember exactly where, but in the, right at the end of the Paranjana pastime, I believe, describes that if one hears the Bhagavatam, all one's miseries will vanish, at least during the time when one is hearing. And in the Padma Purana, in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, it describes how someone heard the Bhagavatam and there was a ghost there, and he heard it. And at some point, and everyone else was listening, and the ghost was listening, and suddenly, everyone present saw this ghost assume a forearm form, and then head towards the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, from hearing the Bhagavatam. And there were so many people there. So the question is asked, well, everyone was hearing the Bhagavatam. Why did this one soul go to the spiritual world just by hearing? Yes, it's possible. And the answer is given. Does anyone know what the answer was?
Because he was very attentive.
Yes, thank you. He was attentive. He was listening carefully. And boom, the effect was incredible. Immediate. So, when one actually hears by the potency of the Bhagavatam, that sound enters the ears, and it goes from the ear to the heart, and it touches, it enters, this is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it enters the heart through the ears. And it is an energy, this Bhagavatam is not an ordinary energy, ordinary material energy, it is a spiritual energy, and when it enters the ear, it touches the soul. And the soul, at least for that time, gets some of the shelter of that energy. And what a different taste it actually is. Because that's the shelter that we are all longing for. We're here in the material world, but we're sheltered by Maya. Because of what? Because of that tendency based on false ego to want to imagine that we're the center of existence. So therefore we gain naturally the shelter of Maya. But when being touched by that energy, the spiritual energy, the desire in the heart of the soul changes, and he wants and begins to long for the shelter of the other energy, the Yogamaya energy, which is based on Krishna's being the center. His business is to serve Krishna. So the assembled, this is text 10, the assembled gopis and gopis, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children, and therefore they neglected these statements as being childish talk, thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna. Mother Yasoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Why? Because she wanted Krishna protected. Again, the center of what of all her thoughts was Krishna. Krishna's protection. Krishna's pleasure. After the strong, stout, cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed the ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planets, because they were thinking, oh, how could such a horrible thing happen? This must be the influence of, what's a bad planet? Rahu. Another one? Saturn. Shani. To appease them. It's like in India, you see people walking around on Shanivar, on Saturday, because Saturday means it's the day of Saturn. They walk around with a picture of Saturn, the planet, and they want you to give money, and the idea is Saturn's going to get you unless you appease him. You better give or else. So then the Brahmins perform the ritual, but the center of everything the residents of Vrindavan is doing is not, oh, we better do this, otherwise we'll get trouble from this planet or this bad influence or this karma or that karma. No, it's always to please Krishna. This is the pure consciousness, the natural consciousness of every soul, of every living entity. Krishna-centered, Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasita bhavatam mahi. There's the sweet taste of that. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavato mahi. Kriyatam yari kuto pilabhyate. Tatra loyam apimuyam ekalam janma koti sukritar nalabhyate. This is the verse spoken by Ramananda Roy in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Prabhupada, in the translation of part of this verse, he termed the phrase Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasata bhavato mati. It means the sweet taste, relishing the sweet taste or the mellow of one's relationship with Krishna. That is Krishna bhakti rasata. Rasa, Krishna bhakti rasa, bhavato mati. And that is Krishna consciousness. The sweet taste that one attains by relishing his relationship with Krishna. The beginning of that relationship is service or surrender. And then love develops on that platform. So the Brahmins perform the ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet, and then with rice grains, kusha, water and curd, they worship the Supreme Lord. When Brahmins are freed from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. This is the purity of heart that's required to give the Brahmins' words the potency that when they bless, just by their saying something, it must happen. But listen to these qualities. So that Krishna will, especially for a Vaishnava Brahmin, that Krishna will make his words come true if he's a devotee to the level of possessing these qualities. When Brahmins are freed from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, despite their opulence of purity, they're not proud. Their blessings never go in vain. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmins to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Then while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs. And after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed all the Brahmins with first-class grains and other food. We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport. The blessings, listen very carefully to this. The blessings of Brahmins who are not envious, disturbed or puffed up with pride or false prestige, and who are fully qualified with truthfulness will be useful. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada criticized the Brahmins just by birth, who don't have any qualities of Brahminical qualities and don't have any of the work of the Brahmins. And he says to become a Brahmin you have to just cost 2 pice to get a thread, and that makes you a Brahmin. Now it's more expensive. the threads, but still, does that make one a Brahmin? Prabhupada very strongly criticized that, following in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the blessings of these kind of Brahmins who are qualified will be useful. And Prabhupada said that Nanda Maharaj didn't require the blessings of caste Brahmins who were just not Brahmin by qualification. So he continues, therefore a class of men must be trained as Brahmins from the very beginning. Brahmachari Gurukule Vashan Danta Gurohitam. The word dantaha is very important. Danta refers to one who is not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with false prestige. With the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to introduce such Brahmins in society. Brahmins must ultimately be Vaishnavas. And if one is a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmin. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. The word Brahmabhuta refers to becoming a Brahmana, or understanding what is Brahman. Brahma janatitti brahmana. One who is a Brahmabhuta, one who is Brahmabhuta is always happy, prasanatma. Nasochiti nakanchiti, he is never disturbed about material necessities. Samasavashe bhuteshu, he is ready to bestow blessings upon everyone equally. Mad bhaktim labhate param, then he becomes a Vaishnava. In this age, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the sacred thread ceremony for his Vaishnava disciples with the idea that people should understand that when one becomes a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmin. Therefore, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become Brahmins must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. Very, very heavy. Prabhupada is putting a very heavy responsibility on the devotees who have taken what we call second initiation or Brahmin initiation to live up to the standard of Brahminical principles. Truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Non-envious, not disturbed or puffed up with pride and false prestige. Very heavy. But if one takes the challenge and tries to come to this platform and begs the help of Krishna and takes shelter of the holy names, then their life will be successful. This kind of pressure could make us go up. It was such Brahmins that Nanda Maharaj invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary Brahmins. Verse 13 distinctly mentions himsaman. The word man refers to false prestige or false pride. Those who are falsely proud, thinking that they were Brahmins because they were born in Brahmana families, were never invited by Nanda Maharaj on such occasions. Text 16. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son Krishna, gave the Brahmins cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to the Brahmins in charity, and the Brahmins accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, and especially upon Krishna. So that was Nanda Maharaj's desire. He open-heartedly gave so much in charity. There were two reasons. One was because it was the ceremony for Krishna's coming out. He was just 3 months old, and therefore to make that ceremony or that time auspicious, these ceremonies were performed, so many people came, charity was given, prasadam was distributed, and the Brahmins were asked to bless the family and especially Krishna. And also, for the second reason, is they wanted to remove the inauspicious effect of the bad planet, which must be the cause of the cart being turned over. The Brahmins, who were completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns, this is text 17, were all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke was certainly never fruitless. They performed their sacrifices, and Prabhupada in his purport describes that in Kali Yuga, this kind of Brahmin does not exist, practically speaking, to perform the yajnas, the sacrifices, and therefore kalo nastevana stevana stevagatyani, after the sacrifice, the only sacrifice that is truly recommended in Kali Yuga is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Yajnaya sankirtanaya prayaya jantihi sumedasa. That's what Prabhupada describes in the purport. There are one, two, second pastime, then there will come a third later. Second pastime is described in this chapter. One day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Yasoda was patting her son on her lap. So that happened. The cart was kicked over. Now, several months later, actually 9 months later, one day, Mother Yasoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly, she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak. And she could no longer bear his weight. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Lalayanti. Sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs, and the mother also enjoys pleasure. What is that? This one. You know, when the parents, they throw the children in the air like that a bit, and then and the child always, the children laugh and giggle when they do that. Yes. Yes, did you used to do that? Now they're too big. Much too big. And the children laugh, and that brings pleasure to the parents, the mother. Yasoda used to do this. But this time, Krishna became very heavy, and she could not bear his weight. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna was aware of the coming of Trinavartasura, who would take him far away from his mother. Krishna knew that when Trinavarta came and took him away from his mother's lap, Mother Yasoda would be greatly bereaved. He did not want his mother to suffer any difficulty from the demon. Therefore, because he is the source of everything, Dhammadyasiyataha, he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe, because everything is resting on him. So if something is resting on you, you have the weight of what's resting on you. So everything rests on Krishna in the material world, and naturally he could become as heavy as he likes. So he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe. The child was on the lap of Yasoda, who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. But when the child assumed such heaviness, she had to put him down in order to give Trinavarta an opportunity to take him away and play with him for some time before the child returned to the lap of his mother. Everything that Krishna does performs purposes, yes. There's so many different purposes. So one is this demon Trinavarta is going to get killed. Another is, and this is common with all of Krishna's pastimes, they're going to be playfully a source of great pleasure for Krishna. And also they, in one way or another, increase the ecstasy of the devotees. So that was Prabhupada's purport. Let's hear what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has to say, just a part of his purport. Suddenly, Krishna became as heavy as a mountaintop, and Yasoda could no longer hold him. Same as Prabhupada said. Krishna knew that Trinavarta wanted to kidnap Yasoda along with himself. An extra point. Therefore, Krishna displayed his Aishwarya Shakti. What does Aishwarya Shakti mean? power of, Shakti means power, Aishwarya means opulence, some of his superhuman opulence, in order to prevent any pain from coming to Yasoda. Becoming heavier than the heaviest, Krishna forced Yasoda to place him on the ground. Krishna was thinking, Yasoda can only lift me a little, but I want to play in the sky. Desiring like this, Krishna let the Asura take him away. Krishna wanted to play in his own way, and he's organizing these pastimes to do so many things. Text 19. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother Yasoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. This is the purity. Even the purity of a devotee is exhibited. Of course, this is special because she's holding the supreme Narayan on her lap and she's thinking, oh, I need Narayan's help to protect my son. But aside from that, just see when she's in difficulty what she does. She immediately, and of course her difficulty is not about herself. Her difficulty is only concerned for Krishna, because Krishna was, Putana attacked him, the cart, which must have been caused by some evil planet or ghost or spirit or something that attacked him. So this boy is always, some problem is coming to him and we cannot tolerate that. So, Oh Lord Narayan, please protect Krishna. Please protect. Look where her shelter was. And where does our mind, does my mind go when there's difficulty? What is the first thing that happens? You should become angry at somebody else. I look for somewhere to place, I don't take shelter of Krishna. So that's Krishna's assessment. He allows those situations to allow us to assess ourselves. Should watch ourselves, be introspective enough to watch ourselves and see where our shelter is in difficult circumstances. Do I want to run away from Krishna and take shelter of some sensual pleasure? Do I want to run away when there's difficulty and just keep running? Just go westward? Do I want to just go to sleep? Do I want to eat? These are the, what are they called now? The obsessive compulsive actions of mentally unbalanced persons like everyone in Kali Yuga. Where is my shelter? Some people turn to intoxication. Some people get in their car and want to drive fast. Some people go surfing. Some people really, they open up the refrigerator and or cigarettes or this or that. But for a devotee, he watches where his shelter is and knows that at the time of death, these preparatory assessments are informing him how he's doing. Because what shelter, where can we actually find shelter? Only in Krishna, only in Lord Narayana. So durasrai means false shelters. So do we take shelter of things that cannot give us shelter? We take shelter of our family. What is it? Pashanapi na pashyati. The fallible soldiers, as Sukadeva Goswami calls them in the beginning of the second canto. The fallible soldiers of family. No. We have to learn, not have to in the sense that you have to do this and something's going to force us, but have to in the sense of our self-interest is to learn the art of taking shelter of Krishna and watch ourselves and see how we're doing. And when we see that we failed fail some of the assessments, some of the tests we have to we take the notice and do whatever is required. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur explains this. So she began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the Brahmins to counteract this heaviness. And then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. So Mother Yasoda couldn't understand the philosophical truth about her son. Let's see if there's something to read from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Basically what Prabhupada said. Oh yes. Being disturbed, Yasoda put Krishna on the ground as she wondered how her son had suddenly become so heavy. Maybe some demon has done this. Fearing this, Yasoda took shelter of Narayan, the Lord of the universe. Yasoda glanced upward to Vaikuntha and in meditation said, O Lord, you have given this son, so now you must protect him. Why did she say you must protect him? She was going to do everything that she could to protect him, and indeed she did. She called for the Brahmins, she did this, she did that. But ultimately she knew, as every pious person knows, that everything rests in the hands of Krishna and the Lord. We can be successful only as long as he allows us to be successful. And as soon as he withdraws his sanction, everything falls apart. So therefore, even the most successful person should declare his dependence on Krishna, on God, on the Supreme Lord, and not become proud. So then, after she looked upward in a meditation, said, O Lord, you have given the son, so now you must protect him. Then in great anxiety, Yashoda went out to call some Brahmins to perform the Svastiayana karma, ceremonies for good fortune. So what is going to happen next? That we shall hear, Krishna willing, tomorrow. It will be very frightening. So if you have a weak stomach and have breakdowns and tense anxiety, don't come tomorrow. But it will have a happy ending, I promise you that. Because everything dealing with Krishna has a happy ending. We have 20 seconds worth of time for questions. Yes?
You see, this Yasoda was like thinking about the service she was doing and not about Krishna. I was just wondering, if we're doing our service and putting 100% attention into the service, is that not different from thinking about Krishna? Like, sometimes you get so caught up in...
But she, it was really Krishna-centered for her. Sometimes we get caught up in the mode of passion, and then we forget about Krishna. And that's not the same as her consciousness. So in her consciousness, it's the most wonderful thing, that for Krishna, she's not thinking of Krishna, but it's based on love for Krishna. And when we forget Krishna in the midst of the services, sometimes little tinges of passion and things like that. So in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's one text that describes this, that one should think, Prabhupada's purport, 1856 or 7, for all activities and their results one should always think of me. In such devotional service one should be remembering me, and one should be thinking that Krishna Prabhupada explains in the purport, has engaged me in this service. So if you're thinking or you're doing something, that this isn't work, first of all, it's not work. And it's not really service. Or that's only a complete, an incomplete word for what you're really doing. It is service, but Krishna's not in the word service, but in Sanskrit the word is seva, which means service offered to Krishna, devotional service. So if one keeps in mind, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, who has engaged you in this way, and let me do it nicely for Krishna, and if Krishna is actually in the center, you're doing it to please him, then if you forget him sometimes in your effort to please him, there's no fault. But there's no bluff either. All one bluffs is oneself and one ends up getting in trouble. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam.